It's just an honor to be here with you and to know that that the Lord has given us a gift to be able to know you and to hear a little bit of and to see, you know, what you've gone through. Just a drop, and it's written all over you. It's written all over you that you are a people that have overcome and that you are so precious to him. And I just wanted to honor you as a people and tell you thank you. But also to ask your forgiveness for, I mean, I'm part of the lower 48. And we don't have a clue about your story. And it needs to be shouted, but it needs to be shouted from a place of victory. And that's what you guys are doing. And so as I knew I was going to share, you know, Liz's books, talk about Liz's books, and it was like the Lord said, he just wanted me to honor you. And then it was like I've just been popping with visions ever since I've been with you all. And he spoke the phrase, fire and ice. And the fire is about to hit the ice of Alaska, and it's going to create a tsunami that is going to hit not only the nation, the lower 48, but it's going to be a catastrophic event that is going to cause the glory of God to be poured out on the earth like never before. And it's coming through a people that have been put down and have been overlooked and have been persecuted. And it's going to rise because of that's what God is doing. It's like the fire in his eyes is burning the ice. And it's going to cause such an explosion and in such a decree across the land. And there's going to be, I just am seeing that there it's going to be a display of his glory that's going to start a revival that's going to usher in the glory for the end times, like what Liz has walked in and what she's talked about. And it's the beginning. And I just want to say thank you for letting me see it. Thank you for letting me be around you guys. And it's an honor to know you and to be able to be a part of this incredible, incredible experience. It's just, all I can say is it's holy, but it's holy with passion. It's holy with a beginning. It's holy with, it's like there's a pregnancy and an explosion all at the same time. When I first sat down and I was said, Lord, I want to enter in the first very meeting, I entered in and I felt like I was in Narnia, and I looked over to the right of me and there was a huge polar bear standing there, and I said, okay, well, Jane just talked, you know, the day before about how polar bears pursue you and take you out, and I'm like, okay. but this polar bear reached around me and loved me, and I think it was representing you. I think that the polar bear was Alaska embracing us back in. There's an image that polar bears have there. It's not right because, you know, God has redeemed it. And there is a ferociousness, and there's a mother bear, and there's a nurturing, there's a calling in. It's time for the chicks to come home. It's time for the mother hen to gather the chicks. And I just want to encourage you guys as the First Nation people to rise up and to take hold. And as I was watching, listening to the Lord about what tonight, I saw the cloud of witnesses above you, and there was a champion, and there was a passing of a baton, but there was one in particular, and he was like a chief, and it was a man, and I think that's really significant. And it's like he's saying that what he's passing to you, you haven't even begun to touch what it's like. What he wants to impart to you is way wilder than anything you've ever known, and it's like the cry of the people needs to rise up again, and you guys are going to have a voice, and your voice is no longer going to be cut off from you, but you're going to proclaim and you're going to cause there to be a voice that's going to rise up in our nation that is going to wake us up from that sleepy slumber. And there's going to be a coming together that's going to cause the unity that's going to bring the revival in this last day. And so that's what I was seeing. Hey. So I'm going to advertise a book now. And this is holy ground too for me, because I met Liz by listening to her a podcast. And when I listened to her podcast, it was transforming. And I said, I want what that lady has. I want what she has. And I know that what you've done for one, you'll do for someone else. So I reached out to Liz and emailed her. And she said, well, darling, I'm coming to the States. I'd love to meet you. I said, what? Okay. And so I said, that's a great idea. and I got a group of people together, and we had a meeting, because I knew that it wasn't just for me. It was for the people I love too. I couldn't be, even though I call myself a Liz pig, I couldn't keep her all to myself. But I've known her, you know, ever since then. I've been walking with her really closely, and everything she speaks from up here is what she lives 24/7, and the words that are in this book were given to her straight from the heart of the Lord. And I know that because a lot of times I'll look at her reading her own book and say, oh, wow, that's really, wow, that's awesome. And you know, when that happens, it's not her words. It's like the Lord is ministering to her. And these are nuggets. And what we're experiencing here in the conference is life transforming. Our life will never be the same, never, ever again. But sometimes we go out into the world and we need to be reminded of these things. And these resources are like that. There's like when we start going down, we say, okay, I'm going to hold on to what I had. And then you could be ushered back into the experience that you had here by the words that come off of these pages. And it's meant to encourage you when we don't have each other. It's meant to refresh what you had in the Lord and to keep a reminder. It's like an Ebenezer. It's like a reminder of who it is that God said he was to us. And so these the only reason on the face of the earth that Liz even does these is totally to encourage, totally to usher people into the presence. We have the hardest time getting her to charge for them. And so but they cost money to produce. And so she has to, you know what I'm saying. And so, but her heart is totally to get this into your hands to encourage you. And I've spent hours and hours and hours soaking in the audio. I would just listen to it as I would go to bed, and I had huge chronic anxiety, and this would bring me to, I could sleep when I would put this audio on, and it saved me a whole lot of heartache. And then recently, she's come up with an e-course, and the e-course was birthed from her desire to usher people into the presence, because people like me begged her and said, you know, Liz, not everybody has had a encounter with Jesus in the flesh. Not every one of us has been transformed in the glory. Some of us have to walk it out, and we need tools, and we need how-tos, and we need for you to take us baby steps on, okay, what does it mean to sit back in the presence of the Lord? What does it mean to have an encounter? What does it mean, you know, to totally saturate yourself in the presence? So this e-course is designed to help people like me to be able to keep entering into the presence and usher us into an encounter that is like baby steps. And it's really, really changing people's lives. There's testimonies coming in left and right from people saying that this is like the first time they've ever even heard the gospel before. And so what Liz does is she makes Jesus real. She makes Jesus attainable to everyone. And sometimes in this religious society that we live in, we need new vocabulary on how to do that. So these tools are totally meant to usher you into an encounter with the Lord. And people are saying so many testimonies of encounters with the Lord because of this. And so there's we got a special rate for $40 for this, but it's good for like Sunday schools. It's good for home groups. It's good for, you know, group of people to get together and do that together. And so we have a we have a clip for the e-course. I don't know if it's we can play that. But I thank you for this opportunity just to tell you guys thank you and love you.
We are all supposed to be living in encounters with Jesus. He died for a relationship. So my passion is to help you live in that reality. The ecclesia is God's resting place. It's who we are. Heaven is releasing the manifold wisdom of God through us. Enemy's biggest strategy against us, his objective, is identity theft. When we are connected, we operate in power and authority. Sometimes we can make the gospel so complicated, it's not. It's essentially about the life of abiding. And then we will see the inheritance of all that he intends for our life flow. You will see freedom come.
I'm going to get into trouble now, but if anybody can't afford these resources, I'm going to get fired now. Please contact the ministry and we will provide them for you. Like Susan said, it costs money to produce this content, but my heart is that every single one of us would live in the reality of experience with Jesus. That's the gospel, right? It's why he died. So please get in touch with us. Because I want to get this stuff into your hands. Because people are, like Susan said, people are having encounters. We get communications from all over the world. It's amazing. I won't share them all now. Some of the testimonies are just overwhelming. Transform lives, hey, as they touch Jesus. Like we did just then. So I'm extremely wrecked right now. Woo! I know there's one thing that Jesus wants me to impart specifically for you all, and I'll just have to follow Holy Spirit to know when to do that. I'm not going to, we've already used a lot of time, so I'm going to be quite short in what I share and then give time for you guys to respond again, because the whole event, as we know, is about touching Jesus. Whoa. Just keep drinking. Just keep breathing in his spirit. Don't just ignore me, but I'm wobbling all over the place. I don't care what I look like anymore now. I just need God. Whoa. There are two scriptures that I wanted to read, and actually what Jesus was doing with us before, my goodness me, was activating this scripture. It's a very famous conversation between Peter and Jesus, Matthew 16. Whoa, I'm going to read from Matthew 16 and then Ephesians 4. These are huge keys. As Jesus started before in the worship, he began to flood the eyes of our hearts with light. He took us into that fresh place of purity. He began to pour out his spirit. He began to release the eye salve and wash us with water, his own presence, living water, to restore sight, to increase sight. His whole heart is that we would see holy him. So there's a huge key that Holy Spirit has shown me that I felt that I was to highlight, and Holy Spirit will impart it into your heart. This is a key to living the victorious life where Satan is utterly crushed under our feet. So just listen to these words. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples the question, "What are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am?" They answered, "Some are convinced that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, Holy Spirit's moving on people's hearts right now to blast this next level of visibility into your heart. Simon Peter spoke up and said, "You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God." He's releasing more visibility. He's flooding the eyes of your heart, your understanding, with revelation light. Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone or a rock in some translations." Now listen to this. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, which is drawn from the Aramaic, right, from the original languages. Listen to this. "And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my ecclesia." My legislative assembly. Now get this. "And the power of death will not be able to overpower it." Or in other translations, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Against what? Against the body of people that see that Jesus is God. When you see that with every fiber of your being, when you see that in an ever enfolding dimensions of revelation opening up to you, that's why it's all about Jesus. It's not about other mysteries. Everything is in Christ because he's God. When you see that, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's the place of victory. It's knowing who he is. It's knowing who Jesus is. Ephesians 4:23. I have been wrecked in Paul's letters for about a year. More. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. You find the scripture. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Just receive this, drink this truth into your spirit now. This is Paul making statements that are a direct expression of the heart of Jesus. Now, it's time to be made new by every revelation that's being given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So as we gaze upon Jesus, like the seraphim and the cherubim operating around the throne of God, over and over and over, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," as they are engulfed with the next level of revelation that's being revealed about God forever and ever and ever. The purpose of our life is to see him, to behold God. And as that happens, we increasingly understand who we are. Our eyes are upon him. They're upon him. In the one whose image we on the one whose image we have been made in. I'm just going to share a couple of experiences that I've had with the Lord to do with this quickly. And then there was one specific thing that I felt that was, whoa, to impart to you. So Jesus has been bringing the Apostle Paul, I mentioned it briefly last night, he's been releasing scrolls, handing them to me, and they go through me into us corporately as the bride. Unrecorded revelation that Paul understood was not recorded in his day, that's being passed to be released in our time as we move towards the end of the age. I've actually preached straight out of one of those scrolls as it uploaded into my consciousness. I scribed some of my book from revelation that had been imparted to me. So this is these are realities, right? These are realities we receive from the spirit realm, and this fruit. Every real encounter with God changes us. Because all of heaven, whether it's from the cloud of witnesses, whether it's from Jesus himself, from Holy Spirit, from the angels, everything is about the revelation of Jesus Christ and the bringing forth of a people that look exactly like him. The end of the age. It's all about Jesus. So the most recent encounter I had with Paul was I was just about to speak at a conference quite recently in England, and I was just preparing my heart in the morning, sitting on the bed in the hotel, and the spirit realm opened up. I went into a vision, and I was fully engaged in this vision, and I found myself on the beach in Malta, recorded for us in the book of Acts, where Paul had been shipwrecked. And there was a little bonfire. I was sitting on one side and I saw Paul, the Apostle Paul, sitting on the other. And he was full of joy. And I saw this snake, black snake, come up near the fire and bite him, as is recorded in the scriptures. And I watched him, and he stood up and just shook the snake into the fire and roared with laughter. And I went, out of my spirit, I went, "How did you do it?" Meaning, how did you overcome the shipwrecks, the beatings, the floggings, being stoned to death, the persecution, and on, being bitten by deadly snakes? How did you do it? And he just barely laughed. He was roaring with laughter, and he went, "Just shake the snakes off in the fire. Like, they're not the point." And he goes, "It's all about Jesus." And the light of God just went like through him, and this joy was coming off him, like contagious joy, childlike joy, because he knows the end now. He's in heaven, he's in the glory, he's living from the place of fullness of understanding of the victory. And there was this impartation of joy that was coming off him, and he just kept going, "Shake the snakes off, shake." And then he started doing this happy dance, and I stood up and I was like dancing with him like this around the fire, just getting blasted with glory and joy. And I came out of the experience and it was just burned into me. So I got up and shared it at the conference, and people just shaking the snakes off and shifting their perspective back onto the face of God. The reality that it is finished. It is finished. We walk in triumphant procession following Jesus. We just haven't seen enough yet, but that's what Jesus started this evening. He's clearing our visibility. He's purifying our hearts so there's no obscurity to what we receive in, what we see. There's no filter, no blockage. He's clothing us in humility. He's touching us with purity and holiness. He's applying the eye salve. He's washing us with living water, with his own presence. He's bringing forth the character of Christ in us, himself within us increasingly. And the dove has come. The next level of the impartation of Holy Spirit has come. Thank you, Jesus. So the other encounter I felt to share with you guys was, it was all about it is finished. I was in my kitchen. I was not having a holy moment. I was cooking. And the presence of God just suddenly came into the kitchen. And my husband, Wes, is used to this now. He just takes over, or leaves me to it. And I was in the kitchen, and the presence, the holy presence of God just came in the kitchen, and I collapsed on the floor, and I saw in the spirit Jesus right in front of me. And again, hear this with your hearts. Everything I have personal experience of is a corporate reality, so you can receive it for yourself. Jesus came, and he knelt down, and he kissed my right foot very, very gently, and he put onto my feet, onto our feet, the shoes that he wore when he walked the earth and the robe that he wore when he walked the earth. And I was overwhelmed in gratitude, humbled at the awe and the entrustment, as the understanding was released into my heart that we are being anointed, empowered now to, at an accelerated pace, to continue the ministry of Jesus in the earth with purity of intent, purity of heart, with the power of the dove resting on us for the good of others. And then I was pulled up through a vortex, like, and I just felt myself go up, and the next thing, I had visibility, and I was up above the throne room, and I saw a vast ocean of humanity, redeemed humanity, now home. And Jesus was on the throne in the distance. It was enormous. And in one accord, I heard this sound. Every voice in synchronicity, perfect harmony going, "It is finished." Booming, "It is finished." And the sound went into my spirit. And I felt the oneness of the body of Christ, of all of us, that we are now one body in Christ because of Holy Spirit resident in all of us. I felt the unity, and I felt this sound reverberating out through the whole body of Christ worldwide over and over. "It is finished. It is finished." And I knew that the understanding that was released into me in that moment was that the finished work of the cross, the blood of Jesus, is that message of it, the understanding of it, is being restored to us. And it's coming back in our time, center stage. And it's the thing that Satan fears the most. He does not want us to understand the power of the blood, the finished work of the cross. He doesn't mind a church that doesn't have the cross in it, right? But when we live as those crucified who are walking the walk according to the power of the blood of Jesus in intimacy with him, it's game, set, and match. Because as it says in the book of Revelation, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? Our life hidden in Christ Jesus, the relationship that we have, what he's done for us, what he's done through us, our revelation that flows through us because of the blood of Jesus completely defeats the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. As we see who he is, like he said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" To the degree that we know him, we see who he is, we have authority, right? Our authority flows from the reality of our walk with him in the secret place. It's authentic, right? That's what we were talking. Someone was mentioning that earlier. We have to be authentic, and then power flows from our life as we walk in that mystical union, that oneness with Jesus. So I came out of that experience completely wrecked. And because of the words, "It is finished," they were resounding in my spirit. So I went and looked up the original meaning, the original language. And when Jesus, speaking in Aramaic, was on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," he used the word hala. Some of you may know this. I didn't at the time, and I was stunned, as blown away. So the word hala, translated literally into English, is the word bride. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was looking at us and he went, "Hala, bride." He paid the ultimate price, as Stephanie said earlier, the bride price. His very blood was given. And he purchased a people that he had then cut covenant with, a people that he would put his own being into, his own spirit into, that would be fashioned and formed in the likeness of him and brought forth in the exact likeness of who he is. This whole thing wraps up with Jesus having a bride, his counterpart, to co-reign with him forever. And we have no idea what that even looks like. We just know it's the truth. Holy Spirit is now indwelling us. We are the temple of God. I said we have value beyond our comprehension. We are not these little irrelevant, broken individuals that the enemy in the world would like to convince us we are. We are the bride of Christ. We are his living, breathing hala. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you as you realize increasingly in an unfolding ways with every fiber of your being, you see that he is God. Jesus is God. We know that there's unfolding levels for all of eternity. We're like the seraphim, the cherubim and the seraphim, over and over and over. We will be having revealed to our hearts the never-ending majesty of who he is, the beauty and wisdom and splendor and magnificence of who he is. We are being transfigured through the continual, like Paul says, the continual revelation to our heart of who our God is. Every revelation that's being shown to us is transfiguring us right now. His word is increasingly incarnating us as we enjoy him, as we turn our affection and our attention to him. This is the privileged walk that we have, isn't it? It's not religion where it all lives here and we're in this striving effort that we burn out trying to be good and trying to be holy. It's about letting it all go, letting the divine exchange happen one day at a time. Beauty for ashes, living the walk of the cross. Confident that it is finished. It is finished. Allowing the beauty of who he is to fill us. Allowing his virtue to fill us. His shining ones. So the final thing I wanted to share was what I felt the Lord wanted to impart to those of you that want to receive this. He's never, until tonight, Jesus has never told me to release this anywhere in terms of an actual impartation. It was on New Year's Eve, a few years ago, I can't remember the year now. We were with a group of our very precious friends, and we all get crazy on New Year's Eve and welcome Jesus in together and just get blasted and drunk in the Lord and just see what he wants to do and have a party in the Holy Spirit, as you do. And so we just have this very, very precious time. And so it was one of those crazy Holy Spirit times. And suddenly, literally, it was as the hands turned into the new year. It was like midnight going over the spirit realm. Just opened up, and I saw Jesus coming towards me on a white horse, and it was the white horse as in recorded for us in the book of Revelation. And I saw Jesus as as light. It's the only time I've seen him like that. He was radiant light, and he was riding the horse. Now, up until that point, I had been battling with some really aggressive warfare that was coming against me. It was literally overwhelming me. It was just some, I won't go into it, but it's just nasty stuff. Very complicated, horrible warfare, and it was oppressing me and battering me. So I was just trying to really go low and worship and focus on Jesus. And I was, you know, as we do, sort of having a moment of like, ah, help. So the spirit realm opened up, and Jesus came on a white horse, and he was radiant. And as he came towards me, he pulled the horse up right in front of me. And as he did, the power of who he is, the authority and literally majestic power, just blasted me as light. And it knocked off in a nanosecond all this aggressive warfare. It just gone in the presence of sovereignty. Yeah. As his presence comes, that's who he is, right? The one who is sovereign is there in our midst. It's holy. Every moment his presence is manifesting, right? It's holy. We just take those moments and savor him and turn into him and adore him, worship him. We've just been doing a conference in San Jose with Eric Gilmore and Brian Gurin, two wonderful brothers, and we just had an amazing time, and Eric teaches on this, if you're not familiar with his ministry, he teaches on adoring God as a key, this key that we need to live in him and be transfigured by him. He and I speak in very similar ways, but we carry different facets of the Lord's ministry. But this is what he refers to of the life of adoring, of a life of being Mary, posturing ourselves at his feet in our hearts, even in the midst of our days. You know, we can be busy and I don't mean the abdication of life when I'm talking like this. I mean the posture of the heart, our inner life, being one that turns into him. Whether we become increasingly, it's like practicing building up a muscle, you know, just practicing turning in, breathing him, paying attention, turning the affection and the attention of our heart towards him and reconnecting. And in that moment, his presence just will come through us, right? And just engulf us and recalibrate us again, resensitize us, give us more of him. Like Paul says, he continually is dispensing his life into us now. By his spirit, as we become God's conscious, we drink. We quench our thirst, and he expands inside of us, meets our needs. All of our needs are met through his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Of course, the key is in the glory. You have to step into his presence to begin to drink and receive. So it's just always in the glory, in the glory. It's not from a distance. It's stepping in through conscious awareness. Whether you go in through the word, you go in through worship, you remember encounters that you've had before, you just simply commune with him in an authentic place in your heart. Start to breathe him in. The most important thing we can do in life is protect the connection that we have with God. Guard it. I think we would all say the same thing as leadership here, that just guard the connection. Simply making sure, repent, keep the rubbish out of your life, keep the desensitizing behaviors out of your life. They just cause to distance us from his presence, and it's just not worth it. Just don't entertain compromise. And if you're struggling, get help. Speak to a brother or sister that you trust. Pray. Keep moving forward in him. Like Stephanie said earlier, he's the only thing that matters in the end. We love because he first loves us. Out of the overflow of our experience of his love, we can love others, right, in a sustained way. Thank you, Jesus, in a supernatural way. Wow. So Jesus then scooped me up on the horse, and I rode on the back of the horse. And he took me down, and there was a throne. I got off the horse, and he was standing. Well, it's all happening supernaturally. I was lifted on and off. And he stood on the right-hand side of the throne. And I was with the Father. And I was dressed supernaturally in regal regalia, standing there as us. And I was given a crown. And I was told into my spirit by Holy Spirit that the crown was called the crown of rulership. A rulership in our day can have a negative connotation. That was the name that I was told the crown had. And it was about servant-hearted rulership. It was the empowerment to reach the nations with the truth that would bring alignment, bring correction, bring things out of disorder into kingdom alignment. It was the power through which we would reach the lost, reach the nations, rule from a place of complete yieldedness to His heart, moving in a vocabulary that was language that would be heard by other people. And I saw that we would be influencing now and into the future, we would be influencing with this language. We would be showing people how to do family, how to do marriage, all different aspects of life. We would be releasing kingdom truths. We would be releasing the spirit of wisdom through this anointing. It's an aspect of who we are. It's an empowerment to operate as kings, right? It's an aspect of who we are. It's part of the ministry of kingship. So I'm going to stop there because that's what Holy Spirit's given me to give you. And I want to be able to just give time to respond. I would like to be able to impart to those of you who feel this in your spirit, that you want to receive this impartation from Holy Spirit to be able to operate in righteous governance, in an empowerment, to have added to you a language that flows from the spirit of wisdom that will enable the people that you meet to understand the ways of the kingdom, the ways of the King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So if we can, what I'd like to do is just have somebody, if we've got someone for the keys, just have some gentle worship music. And those of you that want to be prayed for, we'll have the ministry team here. I just want to impart this to you in closing. Wow. That you will see like you've never seen before who Jesus is, that He will become your consuming passion, holy, that you will be reconnected to His heart. You will see as He sees, and you will speak forth wisdom. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Prophets, priests, and kings, right? That's who we are. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I can feel Holy Spirit just continuing to release eyesalve, that mud onto your eyes, washing away everything that's caused spiritual blindness, hindered visibility of the heart. Just come. This is all about you and Jesus. All the language that I've just spoken, the revelation that I've just shared, let it be language between you and Jesus. This is about deepening your own walk with Him, receiving directly from Him that which will empower your life. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The revelation of who he is, as your hearts increasingly see him, is what will stop the gates of hell advancing against you. The enemy is defeated. The key is intimacy. It's seeing who he is. It's all about Jesus. Reigning with him from that place of visibility, speaking forth words of life that come straight from his heart. He's releasing a freedom, a greater freedom to love him. Be free to love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. To enjoy him and to love others out of an overflow of your own love relationship with him. It's the key, knowing him. The gospel is not complicated, right? It's simply loving God, enjoying him, prioritizing his presence. It's his presence. In his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. All healing, all deliverance, all transfiguration happens in his presence as revelation floods our being, as the eyes of our understanding are flooded with light. All works of darkness are dismantled as our hearts come alive in the knowledge that has just passed through our spirit of that is who he is. Wow. 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 Ha. Whoa! Whoa! I'm just going to move quickly through the lines of people and just start to receive this impartation, release this impartation to you. Just begin to receive. Look to him. This is the life of the kings. Intimacy and rulership. Wow. Can I just practically have some guys that can catch, because there's a really strong anointing. I don't want anybody to go flying, not be caught. Now, you may respond differently, but just keep your eyes on him, not on me. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Whoa.